yesterday was very unusual. Patrice was able to get me in the mall. That's very unusual. But our anniversary is next week, and every year we spend our anniversary celebration going to the mall and trying to find some gifts for family and friends. And so I know many of your minds are focused on getting the right gift for someone in your life, and caused me to think about some gifts that we need to be sure to give our children. So I'm going to suggest some gifts to give your children, to give your family members, to give your friends. These would apply in all of those relationships. But I'm going to focus on the children tonight. This list of five gifts comes from an article that appeared in a church bulletin. The writer, the preacher, was quoting Ladies Home Journal, an article that appeared in that publication a number of years ago. And I've reflected on it from time to time, and I think these are some wonderful gifts to give your children. Number one, let's give our children acceptance. Acceptance. The Ladies Home Journal article stated, teach them that they are loved for who they are. Give this gift with a kiss. The fact is that acceptance is one of the basic needs of every human being. And perhaps with children, we sense that especially. And that's why it's such a major force in their lives to be accepted by their peers or in certain groups. And perhaps we all know the pain, and perhaps we've seen it with our children when at times they wanted to be a part of a particular group but were rejected for some reason. Maybe their abilities were not as good as some others. Maybe they didn't score high enough on a test. Maybe they just didn't fit in with the group for whatever reason. But children also have this deep need for acceptance. Our homes need to be a place of acceptance. If our children face rejection in the world, they need to know that they're loved and appreciated and accepted at home. Where do we learn this? But we learn this from God Himself. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were unacceptable in our sin. But yet God reached out to us through His Son Jesus and invited us into His family. He couldn't accept us in our sin, but through Jesus He offered the means of forgiveness whereby we could be accepted. But He made that acceptance possible through the gift of His Son. So much of our acceptance is conditional, and we need to be careful that we do not communicate it in that way, that our love is based on conditions. If you do this, or because you do this, I love you. Rather, we need to let our children, our family, our friends know that we love them, we accept them because of who they are or whose they are. I think about the story of the prodigal son. When he went off with his inheritance and spent it in riotous living, and yet the father, it appears, would watch for him each and every day. That underscores the truth that the father never stopped loving his son. He couldn't go along with what the son was doing. He didn't like it, but he loved the son and rejoiced when his son came home. Folks, that's a gift we need to give others, the gift of acceptance. Another gift to give our children is self-confidence. Self-confidence. Help them understand, Ladies Home Journal wrote, the writer wrote, help them understand that they can trust themselves. Give this gift with a hug. And this is where parents will help our children find their niche. Perhaps find some strength in their personality or some ability in which they excel and provide opportunities for that child to grow in that area. As I look back on my childhood, I remember it seems that with every sports season, If it was baseball season, I always had a bat and a glove. If it was basketball season, I had a basketball goal. If it was football season, I had a football. And I believe my parents were giving me an opportunity to see if I enjoyed those sports and many other opportunities, allowing me to find those things that I enjoyed doing. And parents, as we do this, as we help our children discover their talents, their abilities, and provide those opportunities to grow, it builds their self-confidence. It helps them be able to face life with a positive outlook. It's a blessing. It's a gift we can help give our children. But it's not so much self-confidence as we need to instill in them a confidence in God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to underscore to our children, to our family and friends that the real source of our strength is not found in ourselves, but is found in the strength which Christ gives. How is it that you and I could help others grow in their self-confidence? Thirdly, and I love this point, we need to give our children life without needless fears. The article stated, do not let them see you as a worrier. Give this gift with laughter. Of course, Jesus had a lot to say about this issue of worry. He would say in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? He would direct the attention of the hearers to the birds of the air and observe how God would care for them. He would direct their attentions to the flowers, the lilies of the field, and how they would grow and how God would take care of them. And he would remind his audience, as he reminds us in this reading in Matthew 6, are you not of much more value than they? And he would say, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the necessities of life, will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we need to provide for our children a life without needless fears. It's my personal opinion that we should not exclude our children from challenges that we're facing as a family. Would you agree, parents, we need to let our children know money does not grow on trees? And they need to know that, yes, we're facing some challenges and we have to be patient and work together. But on the other hand, I do not believe we should put the burden on our children to find a solution to our problems. That we try to spare them the brunt of the burden. That we shoulder that as the parents and seek to provide a home life that is filled with joy, that can be serious at times when the matter calls for it. But yes, an environment in which even during the difficult times where we can laugh together. After all, doesn't the scripture say a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones? Another gift we can give our children is the gift of appreciation. And the article stated this, help them become a person who has a spark and enjoys all of life and everything around them. Give this gift as they go out the door. So it's not only helping our children feel appreciated, that we express appreciation to them for who they are, but it's also seeking to instill in them an appreciation for life and for the blessings that we have from God. James 1:17 teaches, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow that is cast by turning. And we need to teach our children that all good things come from God, and that we need to express our appreciation to God. Folks, I think you'll agree there's nothing so insensitive and ugly as ingratitude. We need to teach our children to be thankful, to express appreciation. I think about in Luke chapter 17, 10 lepers who were all healed by Jesus. And the scripture is silent as to why 9 of the 10 didn't return, but it does tell us that one of those who former lepers returned to say thank you to Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I don't want to be one of those 9 who didn't give thanks. And I know we don't want our children, our family, our friends to be any of those who are insensitive and so self-centered that they don't pause to give thanks to God and to others. Let's give the gift of appreciation by demonstrating that gift, by expressing it ourselves, and by teaching our children to do the same. And a final gift we need to help give our children is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Introduce them to God. This article states, the best friend they will ever have. Give this gift by taking them to church every Sunday. And yes, that would be a part of it, but that's not all of it by any means. And yes, it's not something that we can just hand down to them. But it is something that we can help them to develop. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our children won't develop their own faith unless they study the word of God for themselves. And we as parents and grandparents, we as friends can help others develop in their faith as we share the word of God with them. Again, I think of a family where there was a young man whose faith was strong, but no doubt in large part because of the influence that a godly mother and grandmother had on his life. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. In chapter 3 of that same book, in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to go back to those things that he had been taught since he was a child. Who taught him? His mother, his grandmother. I shared with the Sunday morning class this morning an article that I found online, BibleCourses.com, an article that I just happened upon in looking at all the authors that had submitted articles. There was one author that caught my eye particularly. There was an article by H.A. Dixon. Many of you know that was my grandfather, my mother's mother. And I had not realized that they had printed something that he had written. Of course, I printed it, shared it with Mom, and made copies for myself. I was 2 years old when he passed away, so I don't have any memories of him. But I have had many things told me about him. I've read the articles, many articles that he's written. I have a book of sermons that he wrote. I have had numerous hundreds of comments shared with me by those who knew him personally. And so though I did not know him personally, I know of him to be a man of faith, a gospel preacher, and a very humble man. But yet, despite not knowing him personally, my life has been blessed. And it gives me something to live up to, though I never could. But his life of faith has blessed me, and I believe will bless generations to come. That's the power of living, of teaching and living before our children, our grandchildren, living before them the truth of God's Word. That's a gift that each of us can share with others. But we must model it and we must teach it as well. But you see, these five gifts don't necessarily involve money. So I'm not going to talk about things you need to go out and buy. I'm talking about those things that are even more valuable than the things we could purchase. But some things that are desperately needed for our loved ones. May I ask this question of all of us in closing? What are you giving your children? What are you giving your children? Have we been attentive to those needs that they have that are most important? That is, those things revolving around their relationship with the Heavenly Father. If not, let's purpose that we're going to spend more time, make more effort in giving these gifts that will last eternally. The best thing you and I can do for our children, for our grandchildren, for our other family, for our friends, is to follow Jesus with our lives. Are you following him? Do you need to respond in the initial steps of obedience to become a child of God? Do you need to make some changes? Do you need the prayers of the church on your behalf to help you be that kind of example that our families and friends so desperately need? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.